Dear Lord,
as we come and look at your word, open our hearts, our minds, our imaginations, our lives to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, not wanting to be critical with Adrian, but what was wrong with the way we just heard the Bible being read? Think about the order of what you've just heard. Wrong order, wasn't it? It was the wrong order. We got the wrong order. The reading of John's Gospel should have come before the book of Acts, if you think about it chronologically. But the way we do things in the Church of England is a Gospel, because it has priority, because we recognise that it is the accounts that talk of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ always come last, so they're left there lingering in our minds and thoughts. But the chronologically, we got it wrong. So what we got with the way that we read it was the apostles fearlessly telling everyone in Jerusalem about Jesus Christ in the book of Acts before they had seen him after his death in John's Gospel. So here is a question. There's going to be a lot of questions today, people. So do be ready to and prepared to answer questions, even if it's kind of rhetorical in your own head. So here's a question for you. Do you reckon, this is a simple one to start off with, okay? I'm not going to tax you too hard to start off with. Do you reckon the apostles would have had the courage to do what we see them doing in Acts if what we read in John's Gospel in chapter 20 hadn't happened? Would have they been able to have done that? No. Good people. Excellent. But let's just take that thought a little bit further. What I want you to do is to put yourself into the shoes, into the sandals of Peter for a moment. So just kind of put yourself in that place. Put yourself into the sandals of Peter. At this point in Acts. Okay? Now, some of you have read further on in Acts and know what else is about to happen, but try and keep it to this point in Acts. You've recently shown yourself to be a bit rubbish and unfaithful as a friend to Jesus. You, when Jesus was still alive, denied he was your friend three times and saved yourself from getting arrested. You basically did a runner. And now you are here, after Jesus has died, and you are making some serious mischief in the name of your friend. In five short chapters, you have started a movement in the name of your friend. What has changed in you? What has happened to you? What did you just experience? What got inside you, Peter? Well, this is how it is, you might respond. Okay, so this is a bit complicated. So just to be clear, in this next bit of the sermon, of the talk, in this next bit, I'm pretending to be you, but you're pretending to be Peter. Okay, because I've just told you to put on Peter's sandals. Okay, so just so that you're clear, I am now speaking the words that I think that you would say if you were Peter. Good. Okay. Well, this is how it is, you might respond. Jesus didn't die. 3 days after he was crucified, he came back to life. Yeah, I know, it's bonkers, isn't it? We didn't see it coming. I mean, we should have seen it coming. He dropped some major hints. But I saw him with my own eyes, as clear as day, as clear as you see me. He was real. He was flesh and bones. He spoke and he breathed. And the first thing he said was, "Peace be with you." And he said it more than once. When someone who's been dead for 3 days says to you, "Peace be with you," you take notice. But to be honest, I wasn't feeling at peace. Frankly, I was bricking it. Firstly, Jesus was not dead, but alive and in front of me. And that changes everything, absolutely everything. But secondly, the last time I saw Jesus was just before a cock crowed. But that peace of Jesus has forgiveness at its core. And he spoke forgiveness to me. He spoke and he breathed. He breathed on us. Thankfully, considering where he'd been for the last 3 days, his breath wasn't too bad. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Do you think I've gone from denying Jesus? By the way, you're very articulate at this. You're doing a great job of telling us how Peter would do. Do you think I've gone from denying Jesus to telling large crowds about who he is because I want to start a new religion? Do you think that me and the others would put our necks on the line like this to the authorities for the sake of a hoax? Do you think we're trying to start up fake news? Listen up, people. This poop just got real. We are doing what we are doing because the Spirit within us gives us the strength, the courage, and the words to do so. Because what is in us is greater than anything the authorities can throw at us. Because we saw Jesus after he died, and it is better for us to obey the one that can do this than to obey human beings. I'm doing it because he returned from death. From death. He filled me with his peace. He forgave me my sins. And my sins against him were pretty significant. We can't deny what we've seen. We can't deny what God is doing in us and through us. We can't pretend it didn't happen. And you know something else? 2,000 years from now, in a town I don't even know the name of, Devices or Divides or Derides, something like that. Anyway, in that town, people will be doing exactly the same thing. They'll talk about what has happened in their lives, what God is doing in them and through them. They'll not be able to deny it. They, when they recall the resurrection of Jesus, will talk about how God has answered their prayers. We'll talk about the times when God hasn't clearly answered their prayers, but has been with them. How God has forgiven them. How they have been filled with God's peace during the most difficult and uncertain of times. How God has brought about healing. They will be blessed because though they have not seen Jesus alive in the way that I have, they believe. You know, after Jesus said, "Peace be with you," he then said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That's why I stand here now in front of the authorities being accused of healing in the name of Jesus, accused of telling people that Jesus is the Saviour that we've been waiting for. As God the Father sent Jesus, he is sending me with the Holy Spirit to build his kingdom, to tell people the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done. You know, if somebody was to write an account of what I and the other apostles are doing, what they shouldn't do, just imagine that they were to go on and write an account of these things, what they shouldn't do is call it the Acts of the Apostles. Because this isn't us doing this alone. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the risen Jesus Christ in us, guiding, enabling, empowering us to do it. It should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit, or the Acts of the risen Jesus Christ. Actually, no, that doesn't quite capture it, because we, me and the others, have had to play our part. We've had to do our bit, which hasn't always been easy, and I reckon it's going to get worse. So maybe it should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. Or the Acts of the risen Jesus Christ working through his followers. No, that doesn't totally capture it either. It does, because in the way it's written there, it sort of suggests that the Holy Spirit takes over. But that isn't the case. I'm still very much Peter. Jesus' Spirit in me doesn't mean that I've lost a part of me. I'm still into fishing. John still thinks that he's one of the best runners in town and faster than me. Just to be clear, if you were here last Sunday, in last Sunday's reading, John was very keen for us to know that Jesus had risen from the dead and the tomb was empty. But also, on two occasions, he made it really clear that he got to the tomb faster than Peter. He told us two times that he was faster than Peter. Because he's a bloke, and that's important. You needed to know that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, yes, that happened, but I also got to the tomb first. How about the acts of the Holy Spirit and the followers of Jesus working together to continue the work that Jesus started? Trips off the tongue, doesn't it? Or maybe the acts of the Spirit of the risen Jesus Christ and his followers working as one to bring about the kingdom of God. Or maybe the acts of the followers of Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to put God's kingdom first above all other authorities and all other personal ambition. They're all a bit long, aren't they? So maybe let's stick with the Acts of the Apostles. Maybe that will have to do. As long as people in the future don't forget that we weren't doing it alone, that the Spirit was in us. I suppose another possible problem that might happen in the future, if someone did write an account about us, these first followers of Jesus that we are, is that future followers might think that that's it. That after the account ends, and at the end of our part of the story, then it's also the end of the Holy Spirit doing the thing that he does in the lives of Jesus' followers. I wouldn't want people to think that. That isn't the case. Maybe, then, the title should be The Acts of Jesus' Followers, Part 1. Or The First Act of the Followers of Jesus. Or, my favourite, The Acts of Jesus' Followers, to be continued. I suppose the other possible problem, Peter doesn't have to go on, does he? I suppose the other possible problem that might happen in the future is someone did write about what, actually it's you, isn't it? This is you as Peter. You don't have to go on. I suppose the other possible problem that might happen in the future if someone did write about what we did as the first followers of Jesus is that future followers might think that we only prayed about the big stuff, about the healing and the miracles and the prison breaks, because that's the stuff that will end up in the account. They'll just get the edited highlights. But we pray about everything, every aspect of life. This morning I prayed for my dad's fishing business. I prayed for my right hand that is causing me pain. And I prayed for John to stop going on about how fast a runner he is. This is me now. This is Keith Brindle, the vicar at St. James. I've stepped out of being you and you've stepped out of being Peter. So this is me. Today we start a new sermon series that will run through until the summer holidays. The sermon series is called Thy Kingdom Come. And we're going to shortly look at a video just to prepare the tech persons. We're going to shortly look at a video. It's called Thy Kingdom Come, as in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. The kingdom, Thy Kingdom Come, is also the name of an international ecumenical initiative. I just want you to watch this video. So, the Thy Kingdom Come international initiative that runs for the 11 days at the beginning of June between Ascension and Pentecost has three things that it hopes will happen, that those of us that take part in will happen. That we will deepen our faith, our relationship with Jesus Christ. That we will pray for God's Spirit to work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And that we will come to realize that every aspect of our lives are the stuff of prayer. So what we're going to do, rather than just have this Thy Kingdom Come period be for the 11 days between Ascension and Pentecost, is we're going to look at this. It's going to be the theme of what we do over the coming months and leading up to the end of the, to the beginning of summer. So we want to focus and encourage and equip us in these three areas. And we're going to do this in a number of ways. We'll focus on it in our Sunday gatherings. Our connect groups, our groups that meet weekly in different people's homes, will go deeper into these three different areas. And over this time, but particularly between Ascension and Pentecost, we want to provide opportunity for prayer. But here is the thing. Have you seen the risen Jesus Christ? Has he showed up in your life? Before you can go deeper in your relationship with Jesus, before you can pray for the Spirit to work in others, before you can pray for every aspect of your life with any kind of confidence, you need to have seen the risen Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit needs to have shown up. John 20 needs to happen before Acts 5 can happen. Some of you know that my most frequent prayer is, Jesus, help me. And as I've said before, some of you think that if you were me, you'd be praying that as well. But my second prayer, frequent prayer, is, Jesus, show up. Show up in this person's life. Show up in this situation. Now, before some of you nosedive into a panic and convince yourself that you're not there yet, let me remind you that to see the risen Jesus Christ is to turn to him. Is to turn to him instead of going it alone, instead of going your own way. Or as Peter put it at the end of the Acts reading, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Jesus. If you've turned to Jesus, if you desire to follow him, the Spirit is in you. The risen Jesus is in you. Be assured of that. But for some, that may not be the case. You may not have ever prayed for Jesus to show up in your life. Or for some of you this morning, you may need Jesus to show up to give you his peace, to give you his assurance. And though you believe, you may also need that this morning. And for all of us, we need to, each day, make that conscious decision to turn to Christ. So I'm going to pray a simple prayer, asking the risen Jesus Christ to show up, for his Spirit to show up. But before I do, I kind of want to tell you what to possibly expect. I think a lot, and the reason why is because I think a lot of people feel disappointed during these times of prayer, think that a feeling of disappointment that accompanies such prayers. Now for some, there may be a real emotional, almost physical response to such a prayer. Now that has happened to me very, very, very rarely. Very rarely. For others, they may get a picture, a thought that pops into their mind. And often it can be an odd picture and they're left wondering what it's about. And maybe it's for somebody else. I've never had a picture. It hasn't worked like that for me. But I do occasionally have the odd thought that pops into my mind and it's normally during worship. And a lot of the time that is my own imagination, but sometimes it has been something that I've needed to share with somebody else. And for a lot of us, we feel or sense nothing. And that is me most of the time. But that's not because the Spirit hasn't showed up. That isn't because Jesus hasn't shown up. That isn't because Jesus doesn't care or doesn't love me. This is what it looks like for me when Jesus shows up in my life, when the Spirit is in me. I don't feel much different. But I do life a little better. I do the day a little better. I'm a better husband, a better dad, a better follower of Jesus. I get things less wrong. I'm slightly more conscious of Jesus' spirit. Not because I have an emotional thing going on inside me that some people have, but because I'm walking and talking a little more in step with the Spirit. And I'm only ever really normally aware of this when at the end of the day, I review the day and realize that there's something different going on. Most of the time, this is what it looks like when Jesus shows up in my life, when the Spirit is in me. It's not an instant thing. It's not an instant high. It can be for some people, but not for all. You know, I often say that comparison is a thief of joy. Comparison is a thief of joy. When we encounter the Holy Spirit, comparison can be the thief of joy. How the Spirit engages with us and how we engage with the Spirit is for us, and we don't worry about what's going on with people around us. Comparison can be the thief of joy. It's a slow burn for me. Let me give you an example. Most of you know that I am dyslexic. When I was young, I couldn't read aloud for toffee. When our kids were young, it was a disaster when I read to them at night. They'd always ask for Anna. Though I did get better at reading to the kids over time, and I did get better at reading aloud in public as a teacher. But when I felt called to be a vicar, I was worried about this. I knew that I was going to have to do a lot of this, what I'm doing now, reading in public. During Holy Week just gone, each evening I read for about 30 minutes from John's Gospel to a small number of you. On the first evening, and on subsequent evenings, but particularly on that first evening, I sensed the Holy Spirit with me as I read. Not in a magical or weird kind of way, just a sense of encouragement. That's all it was. Just a sense of encouragement. Inspiring me to read his Gospel well. But it was also all those other opportunities I had over the years, reading to the kids, reading as a teacher, when the Spirit was gently with me, leading me to this point when I could be a slightly better reader in public than I am. And I know that some of you are saying, Keith, there's plenty of room for improvement. I know that. But, you know, I'm not the finished product. There's still work to be done. I'm a work in progress. But my experience of Jesus showing up in life has been like that. When it has come to dealing with the hurts of my childhood, when it has come to forgiving others, when it has come to accepting God's love and forgiveness, it has never been wham, bam, thank you, amen. It's always been a slow burn. The fire of the Spirit working in me to change me, to inspire me, to reveal to me and through me the glory of the risen Son, has actually, most of the time, been on about gas mark one. Now, that is not the same for every person. As I've said, the Spirit works most often with the grain of the character of who you are, knowing what is the best way to engage with you. Sometimes the Spirit needs to jolt us, but most of the time, works with who you are and your character. I just wanted to share that before we pray. So let us pray. Let us pray expectant that Jesus, his Spirit, will show up. Lord, we pray that your will be done in our lives. Lord, for those of us that don't know you, but want to know you, we turn to you. Jesus, show up in our lives. Lord, for those of us that need your peace this morning, that need to know your love afresh, that need your reassurance, we turn to you. Jesus, show up in our lives. Lord, for those of us that continue to journey with you, that continue to seek your will and your kingdom, we turn to you.
Jesus show up in our lives. Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, your spirit come.